All right, so let's dive into this thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
The first and only 2024 presidential debate, Harris versus Trump.
Huge.
Working with the full transcript, and wow, there's a lot to unpack. This election is already one for the books, right? Biden bows out, Trump jumps back in. But this debate, this is where things get really interesting.
Wait, you know what's so fascinating about this debate is it really throws a spotlight on just how different these two candidates are.
Yeah.
Their styles, their backgrounds, their visions for the country, it's night and day.
Totally.
And you throw in the format itself, 90 minutes, no audience, just the two of them on stage, you could cut the tension with a knife.
Oh, absolutely. Every word, every glance, every sigh, it all gets amplified in that setting.
Yeah.
And they didn't waste any time getting to the heart of it, right? Starting with the economy, because let's face it, that's what's on everyone's minds.
Right, bread and butter issues.
Exactly. And Muir went straight for the jugular with the classic, "Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?" question. I mean, you could practically hear the collective gasp from living rooms across the country.
It's a question designed to cut through all the noise and get right to the heart of voters' lived experiences. Are you better off? It's simple, but it's powerful.
It is. So how did Harris handle that?
She used it as an opportunity to lay out her vision for what she calls an opportunity economy.
Opportunity economy. Okay.
Yeah, she emphasized things like affordable housing, childcare tax cuts, and support for small businesses, trying to connect with those working families feeling the squeeze.
Interesting. So connecting with voters on a personal level, but also getting into the policy specifics. Did she keep it pretty much to the talking points, or did she try to bring in any personal anecdotes? I feel like those can be hit or miss sometimes.
Yeah, you're right, they can be. But she did sprinkle in a quick story about her mother's friend who helped raise her, just a brief mention, but you could feel her trying to create that emotional connection.
Right, it's a balancing act. Appeal to the head, appeal to the heart. It's all about making that connection.
Exactly.
So Harris is talking about opportunity, but then you've got Trump coming in with his own brand of economic populism, right?
Right, and we've heard this tune before. Tax cuts, deregulation, bringing back manufacturing jobs.
It's like a greatest hits album from 2016.
Pretty much. He even resurrected the promise of tariffs.
Oh, yeah, the tariffs are good argument. Did that make a comeback?
It did, specifically mentioning bringing them back. But Harris didn't miss a beat. She called it a Trump sales tax and claimed it would cost the average family an extra $4,000 per year.
Ouch. That's hitting people where it hurts their wallets.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about refuting Trump's claims. It was about directly linking his policies to their potential impact on voters' everyday lives, making them think, okay, lower taxes might sound good, but what's it actually going to cost me?
It's like political analysis on the fly, fact-checking and connecting the dots for voters in real time. Did Trump have a response to that?
He doubled down, claimed his tariffs didn't cause inflation, said he'd bring back the economic boom he claims happened during his first term.
The nostalgia card. Interesting tactic, appealing to that sense of a maybe better past. We'll see if it works this time around. But one thing's for sure, the economy, the cost of living, those anxieties are a major driving force in this election. And speaking of major driving forces, let's talk about abortion. Things got really heated when this topic came up.
Yeah, after Roe v. Wade was overturned, you knew this would be a flashpoint.
For sure. And with states all over the place with their own laws, it's top of mind for a lot of voters. Trump's response was interesting. He took credit for Roe being overturned.
Right, which he's been doing.
But then he said he wouldn't support a national abortion ban. It seems like he's trying to have it both ways. What's the strategy there, do you think?
It's a tricky game he's playing. He wants to energize his base, who are largely anti-abortion, but he also knows he can't alienate more moderate voters who might be uncomfortable with a nationwide ban.
Right, it's a tightrope walk for sure. But he didn't stop there. He went on about late-term abortion and even brought up infanticide, which felt like a deliberate attempt to shock people.
It's a tactic designed to evoke a visceral reaction, and it often relies on misinformation. There's just no evidence to support claims about widespread late-term abortions, especially not the way he portrays it.
So fear-mongering, basically.
Pretty much. It's all about framing abortion in the most extreme and inaccurate terms to sway public opinion.
And Harris called him out on it, right? She wasn't having any of that.
Not at all. She challenged his characterization of the issue and talked about the very real consequences of restricting access to reproductive health care.
Like women being denied care for miscarriages and things like that.
Exactly. Bringing it back to a human level, highlighting the potential impact on women's lives. This isn't just a theoretical debate, it has real-world implications.
Absolutely. Speaking of real-world implications, let's move on to immigration. Record border crossings, debates about asylum restrictions, Harris's time as border czar. This segment was a powder keg.
Yeah, both candidates came ready to rumble on this one. Immigration is one of those issues that really gets people riled up.
And it felt like Harris came out swinging, especially when she brought up Trump killing that bipartisan border security bill back in 2019. What was the deal with that again?
Oh, man, that was a whole thing. Back in 2019, Congress actually managed to pass a bipartisan border security bill.
Bipartisan in this political climate. That's practically a miracle.
I know, right? It was a big deal. The bill would provide billions of dollars for border security, even funding for things like humanitarian aid.
So a common sense solution that everyone can get behind. What happened?
Trump shot it down, said it was weak. He pressured Republicans to vote against it, and they did. Harris used that moment to paint him as someone who obstructs progress, even when it's in his own party's interest.
Interesting. So playing that he's not even good for his own side card.
Exactly.
But how did Trump respond to that? Did he try to defend his decision to kill the bill?
He pivoted, as he tends to do. He shifted the focus to migrant crime, bringing up the caravans again.
Oh, yeah. That was a big part of his 2016 campaign.
Right. He even made this strange claim about immigrants harming pets in Springfield, Ohio.
Wait, really? Harming pets?
Yeah, it was bizarre. Muir asked him about it, and he couldn't back it up. Muir even fact-checked him on the spot, said the Springfield city manager had no record of any such incidents.
Wow. So we've got a pattern here. Trump makes a claim. Harris pushes back. Fact-checkers step in. It's like a real-time demonstration of how misinformation spreads.
And how quickly it can be debunked when you actually look at the facts.
Exactly. And speaking of looking at the facts, let's talk about January 6th. Things got really tense when that topic came up. You could just feel the weight of it all hanging in the air.
Yeah, the gravity of that day, the images of the violence at the Capitol. You could tell this wasn't just about politics anymore. It was about the very foundation of American democracy.
The peaceful transfer of power. And Trump, when asked if he had any regrets about that day, well, he did what he does best.
He deflected.
Exactly. He blamed Nancy Pelosi for security failures, refused to take any responsibility for what happened.
Classic blame shifting. But again, this time it felt different. The weight of that day, it just hung over everything.
And Harris, who was actually at the Capitol that day, she wasn't having it.
Her response was powerful. She spoke about her own experience, the fear she felt, the chaos, and she connected it directly back to Trump's rhetoric.
Right, drawing that straight line between his words and the violence that erupted that day. It was a chilling reminder of how quickly things can spiral out of control, how fragile democracy really is.
Absolutely, and that sense of a system on the brink of truth itself being up for grabs, it was even more palpable when the topic shifted to the 2020 election.
Oh, boy, here we go. You knew this was coming.
It's the elephant in the room, or maybe the ghost at this point. The 2020 election just keeps haunting American politics.
It never seems to go away, fueled by Trump's insistence that it was stolen.
And in this debate, it took center stage once again. What's interesting is that Muir came prepared.
Oh, yeah. How so?
He played clips of Trump from after the 2020 election, in his own words, where he seems to admit defeat.
Whoa. That's ballsy. So fact-checking in real time, using Trump's own words against him?
Exactly. It was a bold move, and it led to a very surreal exchange. Trump tried to walk it back, said he was being sarcastic.
Sarcastic about losing an election. That's a tough sell.
Right. It was just another example of Trump creating his own reality, one where facts are flexible and inconvenient truths can be dismissed with a wave of his hand.
But this time, there was an added layer of, I don't know, menace. He didn't just make vague claims about a stolen election. He specifically said he'd prosecute anyone who cheated in the upcoming election.
That's what made that moment so chilling. It wasn't just bluster. It felt like a threat.
Almost like he was trying to intimidate people, discourage them from even participating in the democratic process.
It definitely raised some eyebrows.
Yeah.
And it really underscored what's at stake in this election. This isn't just about different policies. It's about the very soul of American democracy.
Wow, so we've covered a ton of ground here. The economy, abortion, immigration, January 6th, the 2020 election. It's a lot to digest.
It really is. And believe it or not, they crammed even more into this debate.
Oh, there's more. Okay, hit me with it.
They touched on a whole range of other critical issues. The Israel-Hamas war, the war in Ukraine, healthcare, climate change. You name it, they talked about it.
a real lightning round of global issues. I'm guessing the same stark contrasts we saw in their positions on the other issues, those were still in play here.
Absolutely. It's like they were looking at the same world through completely different lenses.
Okay, so walk me through it. Where do they stand on, say, the Israel-Hamas war? That's obviously a very sensitive and complex issue.
It is, and it was only a few weeks after the conflict erupted, so emotions were running high. Harris basically reiterated the Biden administration's stance supporting Israel's right to defend itself while also emphasizing the importance of protecting civilians.
Right, acknowledging the complexities there, trying to find that balance. What was Trump's take?
Well, he went back to that familiar refrain, "This wouldn't have happened on my watch," claiming that he could have prevented the conflict.
Of course. So, more of the same from Trump on that issue. What about Ukraine, another major global crisis?
Right. Harris doubled down on the importance of supporting Ukraine, framing it as a battle for democracy against Russian aggression.
Which has been the Biden administration's stance all along.
Exactly. But Trump, he kind of danced around it. He talked about negotiating a peace deal, which he's been saying he could do since the war began.
But no outright condemnation of Putin's actions.
Not really. Which is interesting, right?
It's a pattern we've seen before. He's always been reluctant to criticize authoritarian leaders.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about something a little closer to home. Healthcare. Did they get into the Affordable Care Act?
They did. And after all these years of promising to repeal and replace Obamacare, Trump admitted he still doesn't have a concrete plan.
Really?
Yeah.
Still? That's amazing.
It is pretty remarkable. Harris, on the other hand, talked about strengthening the ACA and expanding access to affordable health care.
So more of the same on that issue as well. Did they touch on climate change at all?
They did.
No.
And it was pretty much what you'd expect. Harris called it an existential threat. Trump expressed skepticism about the science.
No surprises there. Okay, so as this debate wrapped up, we're left with these two candidates who have fundamentally different views on just about every major issue facing the country and the world. It's almost like they're running for president of two different Americas.
It really does feel that way.
Yeah.
And their closing statements really drove that home.
Right, those final appeals, the last chance to leave a lasting impression on voters. What were the key takeaways from those closing arguments?
Well, Harris's was a call for unity, for optimism. She emphasized her vision for the future, opportunity, equality, respect for democratic values. It was a message of hope.
Trying to strike a hopeful tone in contrast to all the negativity and division that we've been talking about.
Exactly. Trump, on the other hand, went out with a much darker message.
Okay.
He painted a picture of a nation in decline, a nation on the brink of disaster.
So in the end, they ended this debate the same way they began it, by offering two radically different visions for America.
And that's the choice facing voters in this election. A choice between hope and fear, between unity and division, between truth and, well, something else entirely.
It's a choice that goes way beyond policy, really. It's a choice about the very soul of America. What kind of country do we want to be? What kind of future do we want to build? Those are the questions we're left with as we head toward Election Day.
Big questions.
Yeah.
And the answers will have profound implications for all of us.
Absolutely. And on that note, that's a wrap on our deep dive into the first and only 2024 presidential debate.